But thank you for being here today. I know it feels like Christmas in Florida, but hey, that's not a bad place to have Christmas. I want us to pray today, and I hope that all of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope every one of you who know that your sins have been forgiven by a miraculous act of God, by a divine act of God, you're ready to celebrate Christmas. And I hope that you have pushed aside all that other stuff, and you're going to say, you know what? Today is the day that we rejoice in the Lord. We live because Jesus came. We love because Jesus came. We abide because God Almighty sent His Son to this earth to change everything about us. And you know, it's a miraculous message. On this Sunday of love, we're at the centerpiece of who God is. The absolute centerpiece of the God that we worship. God is love. Many of us learned that when we were children. If we grew up in the church, they cut out that little piece of construction paper back then. Now they probably put it on a tablet. But that little piece of construction paper with that little bitty verse, Nathan, you remember it when you were little. And it said, God is love. And what's so sad? There's the centerpiece of the kingdom of God. And as we move in our lives, unfortunately, many times, we move away from the centerpiece. That God is love. The centerpiece. And we want to make God rules. Or we want to make God regulations. Or some of us think we're intellectual and sophisticated and we want to turn God into a theology or a doctrine. Or we want to take a piece of God in elevating more than Him Himself. God is God and God loves His people. Anybody excited about that? God is God and God loves His people. Did you realize that right there will change everything in the world? You say, well, Pastor Ayers, and why in the world don't we engage in that? I think it's this. The angels fell on their knees. The wise men, the intellectuals of that day, fell on their knees. The politicians of that day, unlike this time today, were terrified of Jesus' birth. Isn't it amazing? Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. I have friends of mine that happen to be atheists, and they are friends. They're fellow human beings that God died for and is risen for. And I always kid them all the time. I said, I tell you all, I've never seen a group of people so fearful over plastic Jesuses. Yeah. A plastic image of Jesus rips terror. And I said, if you all would get logical, I could buy into you better. You say a God doesn't exist, then why are you worried about an image of a non-existent God? Well, Pastor Ayers, we're not going to believe that foolish myth. I said, fine, but I tell you what, I'm going to believe that divine truth. That God Almighty has come to us and anybody in this world, and I mean anybody, no matter where you've been or what you've been through, God will come into your life and change every bit of your reality. How many of y'all still believe that? I still believe that. Now, obviously you have learned this week, and I'm not as crazy as I used to be. Dr. Blevins, I'm not as crazy as I used to be. All my colleagues used to think I was crazy. Now they know I'm crazy, but I'm not as crazy as I used to be. 30 years ago, I said, there'll be a day when this nation hates Jesus. We're in that day. I said, there'll be a day when one day, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Pastor Reynolds, we might be arrested. That sounded almost, doesn't it, Dr. Ward? That almost sounds like that's ridiculous to say that in the United States. But we've come to that day, but I want to give you great hope today. Guess what? That's not a new day. Jesus comes in spite of what we say. How many of y'all glad to know that? That Jesus comes in spite of what we say. Jesus came, and guess what? It was on that day. On that day, and guess what the Caesar had declared? He was calling everybody home to take a census, Does anybody know there's only one reason any government official takes a census? Does anybody know why? Thank you. Some of you all are alert. They want to know where you're at so they will know where your income is. Amen? That's their agenda. Here's how powerful it was, and some of us, especially a lot of us, need to take comfort in this. God used Caesar. God used Caesar to place Jesus exactly where the prophecy said he would be born. And the same God that brought Jesus to the exact place that the prophecy said he would be born, that God, God Almighty, the God of all creation, is still in charge of the world today. Anybody excited about that? That God's still in charge of the world today. And so I just want to remind you, guess what? You are loved whether you want to be or not. Love is available. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and say, it is available. Come on, tell them it is available. Hey, this Christmas time, for our guests today, we love having guests here at Hillview. What an awesome, now that Keith has aged, I felt like we were at a Bill and Gloria Gaither kind of moment. If y'all ever watch that on TV, I love that. Pastor Keith back there, you know, I better be careful. My wife was up there too. But what a great heartbeat of the music that has absolutely... Merle, he looked like he was right in the gang though, didn't he? I thought he was going to stand up and give us a good old, you know, Southern Gospel Christmas carol. Do that next service, Merle. Yeah, you kind of look like Bill now. Bill Gaither. He doesn't have any hair on the back of his head either. I like that. It's about being a family of God. And let's go to John, the Gospel of John. And in the 15th chapter, I just want to bring some essence today. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to get in the Christmas spirit, because guess what? Those of you who are following Jesus Christ, the spirit of Christmas is already in you. It's already in you. Think of the day that you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm aware of it. I don't want to live in that anymore. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life and change everything about me. I want you to know that the full power of the Holy Spirit abides in those who follow him. And so I'm going to ask you to do something this Christmas. Release what you already got. And on a side note, enjoy what's around you. Now, I'm aging a little bit, so it may be I get a little more melancholy around holidays. I don't go see my kids. My kids come back to me. A lot of you are in that, where they come home. I got to thinking about that this week, because everybody was coming home. My wife was out, my children were out, and they were coming home. And I thought, you know, isn't that what God did? He sent Jesus Christ to bring us all home so we could come home. Without him, Robert, I can't go home. How many of y'all have ever wanted to go home, but you can't go home? Because home's not there. And I really want you to see this, because a lot of us are confused about this, and I don't want you to be confused about this, because the Bible's very clear on this, okay? I kind of get tickled, you know, for years, back in the early 80s, all these people were seeking God, and I'm sitting there kind of with a little grin on my face. We don't seek God. God seeks us. That's why we never were a seeker-sensitive church, because it's not about us seeking God. It's that God has sought us. And when you get the Bible backwards, you get backwards results. You see, love came to us. We don't create love. We can be caring and nice and polite and never know the love of God. It's God's love that changed everything. Let's see what he did. He came, first of all. As the Father has loved me. These are the words of Jesus. John 15, verse 9. Be great words to read with your family this week as you light the candle of love. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Words that sound like a quick verse, but can you imagine what's really going on here? Jesus has just spoken. The same love that God has for me, now I give to you. I bring you into who we are. I bring you back to what you were originally made to be. Is that not amazing? So Sometimes I think in the midst of our world, it's so busy and so much information swirling around and so many different things we get caught up in that we need to pause for just a minute and realize this. We are loved by an almighty God who is in us. Amen. So I'm going to tell you this Christmas, guess what? Let it out. How many of y'all understand this? Christmas presents unopened aren't very fun. Do you hear what I just told you? Christmas presents unopened aren't very what? All right, we're going to run a Christmas test here. Anybody ever sneak and peek in your package before it was time? All right, all the criminals, get your hands up. That was pre-criminal behavior. Yeah, yeah. How many of y'all learned how to remove tape like a master criminal, put it right back where it was undetectable? You know what, Pastor Jamie, I wish people were that wrapped up in God that they wanted to look into this presence of God, this presence of love. God, what's it going to be like? And there are moments that, guess what? We need to look into what's coming. And I'll tell you what's coming for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God. Pastor Mark, I want you to know that one day we will see literally, not figuratively, not mythologically, but literally, guess what we're going to see? The angels fall on their knees and sing glory to God. We're going to see the elders at the throne bow down. And guess where we're going to be? Those of us in Christ, we're going to be right there with Him. And we're all going to get to sing like Billy Duvall on that day. Yeah. We'll all be going, la, 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 la. White people, for the first time in all of their existence, will have rhythm. And God's glory will be shown. Amen. God's glory be shown. All nations. You know what the Bible says? All nations will be gathered. Here's why. Because Jesus said, I am going to give the love that the Father has given to me to you. There's no greater message than this. And today, I'm going to encourage you even more so. Every soul you need needs to hear about Jesus Christ. In church, we have been plastic long enough. I love Hillview Heights Church, but I love Jesus more. I love our friendship, but that is nothing compared to the brotherhood and the sisterhood we have by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gets us through. God gets us through. And God will continue to bring us through. Look what happens. Jesus' words, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. Church, that's where we got to stay. Abide in His love. For 23 years of Christmases, 23 Christmases, I can't believe that many Christmases have flown by. We have abided in His love together. Have we done everything right? Heavens, no. But I'll tell you one thing we got. We've learned to love God and love each other. And you know what? That's what it's about. I would rather have learned to love God and love each other than all of the fancy stuff a lot of churches have done. Because in the end, it's about loving God and loving each other. Amen? It's about loving God. You ought to praise God for that. That's what it's about. That's the centerpiece. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in His love. Do you hear the word abide? Now this doesn't mean fill out a bunch of rules and regulations. It means really hold to His commandment. And guess what His commandment is? We're going to see. Some of you all going, you're running through your list of moral code. No, that's not His commandment. You see, God had already sent the rules. The rules were already here. God came in stone tablet initially. Well, and then before that, He came in creation. But He came in tablet. God's standard, Ten Commandments. Boom, 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 boom. Do not. And they did before Moses could get the Xerox copy. He had to get two copies. He broke the first ones. Moses broke them before he got down the hill, because when he got down the hill, guess what? Every one of those commandments had been violated by the people of God that God had delivered. So God has always had to be a God of mercy and grace, because you and I don't do real good following the rules. How many of y'all found that to be true? This Christmas, if you really want to understand your salvation, you better understand this. It's a gift of God. And I know some of you feel like, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, but you're bad enough to go to hell. So what are you going to do, sit in hell and go, well, I'm 2 degrees cooler than you are. It'll still be hot. You know what I mean? That's not what it's about. It's about learning that God has loved us, and in Jesus Christ, love is realized. Abide in me, he says. Abide in me. So this Christmas, as it opens up, as it unfolds, as we finish the year 2013, in this year, abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Part of his commandments to go and share, to go and love, to respect, to embrace, not to tolerate. Not to just stimulate. Not to just for a moment have a Hallmark moment. God's not into Hallmark moments. He's into forever moments. How many of y'all realize this? Hallmark moments never last. That's why they sell new cards all the time. Jesus gives one word that lasts forever. Abide in me. You will abide in my love if you keep my commandments. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I pray in the name of Jesus that as we gather on Christmas Eve to celebrate the coming of our Lord, it's not the actual time of his birth, but it's an actual time that we've chose to recognize it. So it really doesn't matter what the day was. It matters there was a day. A day that Jesus came. Amen. We got a group of Christians now going, I'm not going to celebrate December the 25th. Because, man, Lord, could we get on the program? We talk about everything that is not important like it's important, and we skip that is important. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I don't know about you, but I've come to love the Robinson family out of Monroe, Louisiana. I think it's a shame that the church in America is so weak. The pastors are so sold out. Such sissies that God had to raise up a group of duck hunters to be his evangelists. When I think about the shepherds in the fields, I think about Phil, about Jesse. Si would have been a good shepherd. You know why God's speaking through them? Because they listen. You know why their voice is being heard? It is raw, it is real, and it is lived out. It is uncompromised. They do not seek to please the world. They seek to please God. They don't care about what they've received. They care about who received them. Makes them different. They're not scared of A&E. They're not scared of ABC. They're not scared of Barbara Walters. They're not scared of the media of today. They're not scared of Obama. They're not scared of the government. They got a Benelli shotgun, a Bible, and a word from the Lord. And they're on TV. And they say things you're not supposed to say on TV. Like, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these ducks we've killed today. You know why the world's mad? Millions of people have tuned in to hear what they have to say. And they won't say what they want them to hear. Let me ask a question. What if we just were who we were in the Lord? Loved by God, following his commandments, abiding in him, doing what we're supposed to do. That's what Christmas is about. Go to the manger and realize that God has called you. Look what he says. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I pray that the joy, not of Christmas, but the essence of Christmas, that joy of salvation, the joy of love, the joy that God Almighty has a better future than we could ever plan. I pray that you open that up and worship his families in the joy of Jesus. In the midst of presents being unopened, you better realize God opened you and he loves you dearly. These things. Verse 12, this is my command. Let's underline what God's command is. Let's underline what God's command is. I'm going to get a little festered up here. Y'all know what festered up is? Some of you rule enough to know what festered up is. Really irritated. Extremely bothered. Pastor Jeff, I'm so tired of hearing all the commands of the church. I have been tired of hearing the commands of the church since I was about an 8-year-old child. I was tired of hearing about haircut commands, rock and roll commands, whatever cultural normative flew in and flew out. And finally, Bart, you remember that? You were a preacher's child with long hair, God forbid. And it looks like you've turned out all right. You love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and body. And you love your neighbor as God loves them. And that's what he said. Sometimes we'd rather make people like us than really tell people they can be made by God, don't we? We got a bad habit of that, especially in the South, because we're nosy. We like to get in everybody's business. And that's not what Christmas is about. Guess what it is about, though? It's about telling people that God has a business and he'd like to get in your life and change you forever. This is my command, that you love one another. Not as you are capable of. Listen to this. I call this, how many of y'all remember the golden rule? The golden rule. How many remember the golden rule? Do unto others is what? I don't like that. Because I don't want some of you to do unto me like you do unto yourself. I don't like what you do to yourself. Look, the golden rule depends on us. The platinum rule. This is the platinum rule. This is as big as it gets. This is the command. This is my commandment. Look at that. It's in red. If you got one of those red Bibles and red letters, it's glowing red. It's blinging. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know what? And Jesus doesn't do this. He doesn't point fingers and go, heaven's a rest. In fact, when I've talked to Jesus, he hasn't given me the list of everything that I've done wrong because he really doesn't want to spend that much time. He wants me to abide. How many of y'all find this? The more you abide in his love, the less you abide outside of his will. And the more you try to follow his rules, the more you break them. But when you abide in his love, that means you wake up in the morning and guess who you think about? Jesus. And as you go to work, you're thinking about Jesus. And as you love your family, you're thinking about Jesus. The more you love Jesus, the more it explodes. That we would love God and we would love each other as God has loved us. I'm going to tell you what, that's our challenge in 2:14, to love each other like Jesus Christ has loved us. That's the command. That's his word. And if we do that, I'm going to tell you what, we'll light up this world with the essence of Christ. We need a revival of God's love. We're always on a symptom of God instead of the essence of God. I believe God is sovereign. But I don't see the centerpiece of his message being, hello, I am sovereign. He knows that. And a sovereign God becomes the essence of almighty love. So that we can finally love, folks. He says this, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I remember our military constantly. Because as I live my life, sometimes there's people giving theirs. My Christmases are always a reminder of Elizabeth's dad. I always remember Elizabeth's dad at Christmas. It's part of my Christmas. Since I was 15 years old, Henry Moss was a part of my Christmas. On a green vinyl couch, sitting there with my girlfriend, scared to death of what her daddy might say. We would talk later in our lives after we were married and we built a fervent relationship. He would describe to me the Christmas of World War II every Christmas. And occasionally he would pull out his Case XX pocket knife, because all good World War II soldier carried a Case XX pocket knife. Isn't that right, Freddie? And occasionally he would scratch out a piece of shrapnel that he caught long ago. And it reminded me that there were a lot of people that went before me that allowed the opportunities to open up for today. But let me tell you, there's one. There's one. There's one. There's only one that laying down his life opened up the opportunity for life evermore. There's only one. And he was sent in a manger. And the angels sang his praises. And the shepherds bore his testimony. And the wise men were mesmerized by his moments. There's only one. And his name is Jesus. And he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. Love one another as I have loved you." You know what's so sad? There's going to be a lot of people that knew about the Bible and never knew the author. There are going to be a lot of people that lived a strong moral life, never touched a cigarette, never said a cuss word, lived with the anger and fury of righteousness, never knew the author. They already had that group. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. And they took the law and made it God. And they were the very ones that politically manipulated and orchestrated in cahoots with the Roman government to crucify the very one who had come to love. But then there's those few that realize that God has loved them so much that he is willing to make us his friend. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, because For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, I want you to hear verse 16. I want you to hear it clearly. Merry Christmas. "You did not choose me." Some of you need to underline that. You did not choose me. We did not create God. God created us. We did not conjure up a way of salvation. God made a way. We cannot save ourselves. Do you all understand that? And some of you, listen, some of you still trying to save yourself. You wake up in the morning and say, "Man, if I just read a Bible verse, I'm going to be saved." I'll tell you what, if you'll receive his salvation, you'll naturally read a Bible verse. You know what I mean? "For you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of all of Christmas. However, those of us that have received God's grace, we become the fruit of the centerpiece. I think about Christmas. My Christmas has always been associated with oranges. From the time I was a kid, oranges. I would ask my father, almost like a Jewish family, "Father, why do we always have ambrosia?" You know what I'm talking about? Ambrosias, oranges with little coconut flakes in it. "Son, when I was a child..." My father grew up in the Depression. Oranges were gold. and to have an orange. And he said, it reminds me where I came from. Today, I hope you've been reminded where you come from. You come from heaven because Jesus was sent to earth. You come because there was the cross, and you come because there's the reality of the resurrection. And because of that, as you open presents, you will also be opening the forever present that abides in you. And it will never separate from you. For the love of God changes all of the world. And it's that strong. It's a love that is not an image, but it is a love that is an action. So love on in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you that your love is powerful. It is real. It abides. It's divine. It never goes away. Lord Jesus, right now, I just want to thank you for this place called Hillview Heights Church. I want to thank you that you love us, that you brought us together, that we've celebrated Easter's together and Christmases together and birthdays and anniversaries and all the celebrations of life. But Lord, I want to give thanks that you have authored that. You have scripted your love to us. So Lord, I thank you for those that have received it, and I thank you for those that are going to receive it. It's in the name of Jesus we give thanks. Amen. Folks, as we come to this altar, I want to give you good news. If you've never, ever, never, ever, never, ever received Jesus Christ in your life, I got good news. God loves all people, and don't let anybody tell you different. He loves all people. He loves you. You said, Pastor Steve, I've done a lot of things. I want to tell you what God's done more. And he wants to save every human being that's ever taken breath. I believe that. How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. I believe he wants to save every human being that's taken breath. I believe he loves me just like he does anybody else. I don't believe anybody's special. A lot of y'all need to change that. Once you believe nobody's special, you'll start living in freedom. Ain't nobody special. We're all in need of God's grace. And I'm going to tell you what, in God's grace, then guess what happened? Everybody's special. Isn't that cool? In God's grace, everybody becomes special. Some of you today, for the first time in your life, you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You say, well, Pastor Harris, what is sin? Well, there's these 10 commandments. And God said, that's my standard. Now, if you want to go to heaven by being good, you can't ever break one of those from the time you take your first breath to your last breath. The problem is, all of us have broken those. And if you break one, it puts you in violation of all 10. So the one you keep halfway doesn't give you credit for heaven. And some of you are going to say you never lied and you just broke that commandment. Some of you are going to say you've never stolen anything, but you cheated in the third grade off the person beside you. That's a thief. Some of you are going to go, well, I've never committed adultery, in your view. But I bet you've lusted. You see, here's all the world has to offer. Lust. That's it. To quote Alabama in their old country song, what I thought was love turned to lust. That's the story of the world. But God's love goes on. Lust, it lasts for its moment. It brings stimulation, and love brings life. Lust can never bring life. That's why I live in a nation where 59% of the people are divorced. They should have at least had real vows at the altar. They should have said, I lust you. And as long as you please me and do what makes me happy, I'll stay with you. When you cease to do that, we will dispense of this relationship. At least it had been honest. But love says, even when I can't stand you, I will stay with you. Even when you break my heart, I will go through that and God will heal us. Love says, I will endure to the end. How many of y'all glad Jesus doesn't act like us? If that's the case, we'd have been a puff of smoke a long time ago. Amen? But God said, by my grace, I'm going to keep on loving. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, today you have an opportunity to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, save me and change me. You say, well, what will I be like? I don't know. But I do know this. You're going to be a lot more loving. You're going to be a lot more joyful. You're going to be a lot more peaceful. You're finally going to be able to be patient and kind and gentle and more self-control. Now, is that all going to happen in the morning? No, but it'll start. Amen? It'll start. And so I'm going to invite you. If you've never been baptized, all Christmas Eve we're going to be baptized. I can't think of a better night to get baptized. All day long. 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you can be baptized. And if you want to get baptized after 6 o'clock, guess what? Pastor Jamie will be here to midnight baptizing people. And so, no, it'll be Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jamie's occupied. But whatever. Sean, you'd stay here to midnight to baptize people, would you? Shane, how long would you stay here to baptize people? I'll stay all night. I would love to spend a Christmas Eve. What did you do Christmas Eve? Man, people started getting saved. People started repenting. People want to get baptized. We went home. We went over to the Waffle House at 7 o'clock in the morning to eat waffles because we had baptized people all night long. Boy, I'd love to tell that story in a nursing home one day. Amen? You know what? You say, well, how come that doesn't happen? Because we don't believe it could. Today, there's some of you that need to receive Jesus. I just want to tell you, in this world today, please don't put that decision off. The line's being drawn, folks. This week, you saw the line being drawn. I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm already used to people not liking me. I've gotten used to it over 32 years of ministry, 33 years of ministry now. Crazy, isn't it? So guess what? Let's stay with Jesus. Because let me tell you what, he's going to stay with you. He's going to stay with you. And his love will never separate from you. So if you need to be baptized, and I want you all to hang out. We're going to pray over a couple today that is going into a unique ministry. They have grown up in this church. One of them, I have been his pastor since he was 6 months old. I knew him before he could talk, and he can talk a lot now. I saw him in diapers, and it wasn't pretty. But he and his lovely wife, they have been gifted in with ability to act, and they're headed to Hollywood. And I don't know if you all know this, but I think Hollywood is probably a place that could use some believers. And you know what? Things don't change till you get people that are changed in them. So that's their mission. And I pray the glory of God comes through it. Amen. And you say, well, what happens if they make a lot of money? They're going to tithe to their home church. And God's going to do great things always. Amen. I'm just kidding with you. Let's stand together and open this altar up. Lord, we ask your blessing now. We ask you to draw those to salvation that are without it. We ask you to draw those to baptisms that need it. And Lord, we ask you that we would come and pray and we'd open your love up. Lord, you celebrate with us now. May we celebrate you. So may we come and rejoice with one another that you are a God of salvation, healing, joy, power, and truth. In the name of Jesus, may we be set free. Amen.